This is the Evolve Marriage Podcast, episode 130. Today, we're helping you master marriage communication.
Hi, I'm Kate McDougall.
And I'm Eric McDougall, certified master coach.
And this is the Evolved Marriage Podcast,
where every week you learn valuable skills to help you evolve your marriage so your best years together are ahead of you. Here we go. Yo, yo, yo.
What up? What up?
That's my new.
That's how we're starting.
It's intro. Always,
yo, yo,
well,
yo,
you
what
can
up,
start
what
your
up?
Own way. We're two individual people.
Hello.
No, let's both do yo, yo, yo.
Okay.
What was that like song? Like, yippee, yo, yippee, yay.
Where my dogs at?
Did I start yo, yo, yo? No, it didn't.
Bow Wow Wow.
Bow Wow Wow. Oh, wow. That's an old school song.
Isn't it My Little Bow Wow?
That's My Little Bow Wow. Yeah, 100%.
Hi, Little Bow Wow.
Oh, man.
Wonder what his name is now. It's probably like Matthew McConaughey.
I mean, it's probably the same name he was born with.
No, I mean, like, not Bow Wow. Like, he probably has some really sophisticated name.
Him?
Why does Matthew McConaughey, what was that? That's my example of a sophisticated name, McGonagall.
McGonagall, it sounds very tinkering.
No, it sounds Harry Potter-ish.
That's true. All right, let's feel it out.
Let's feel it out. We could have a little song.
I like it. Kate and Eric.
Feeling it out, but not on their balls.
Sorry to get out of hand. What's on your mind and heart, and what's going to be in your hands if you continue?
Oh my goodness, you're so dirty. You're so dirty, Mr. McDougall. What is on my mind? My mind is very busy with work. I'm thinking about how can I revamp my work program and this new challenge that I've taken on, and that makes me feel a little bit like a fish out of water.
Okay.
Intimidated.
All right. Because you don't have the answers.
I've been teaching in the classroom forever, and now I'm in like a specialist program, and I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing. And it used to be so easy. Like, I would just be like, I'm going to do this. Bam, bam, bam. The ideas would flow and come. But now I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. And I don't like it. I don't like being a fish out of water, which is the exact reason I took this position, because I knew it would be uncomfortable and I knew it was time to grow in my career and I will do it.
Yeah, I like that. I like you said that, because I think some of us get complacent. I got complacent in my career, and I think a lot of people are in careers that they're very good at, they excel at, and no longer lights them up.
Yes.
And there's a whole, you know, we do a whole podcast around our careers and stuff like that, but I'm really glad that you recognize that and kind of took that courageous leap to say, like, hey, it's time to grow in my career and take this new kind of unknown step and step into that, because I think you're learning a lot about yourself and maybe you don't even realize it right now.
Yeah.
Because you're so in it.
Yeah, I sure am learning a lot about myself. What's on your mind and your heart?
Well, so right now, just because of the conversation we had and you brought up balls.
Oh my God, Eric.
Right now it sucks. That's like what's going on right now.
Isn't that on men's minds all the time?
No, that's
what's
not
on your
true.
Mind, balls.
That
what's
is...
on your mind, my balls.
What's on your mind?
Sex.
Balls. Just like a whole row of testicles, like an aisle in a grocery store.
Ew.
With different testicles.
That's the thing though. If
why
you go
though? Testicles are beautiful.
No, I mean no, it's because no, not cut testicles in those Saran wrap plastic things. Those styrofoam, that's what I was picturing in my head, like
right.
A Halloween store.
Yeah, yeah. No,
but you can, weird. You probably go and buy like bull balls. I went on a website and you can buy bull balls.
Okay, this is...
Okay, so anyway, so other than balls, what's
so
on your mind?
So today we're talking about... So no, what's actually on what's heart? On my mind is sex and body parts and, you know, touching you, grabbing you.
And so what's on your heart?
Doing all kinds of naughty stuff. Excitement. I'm feeling giddy. I'm feeling lit up. I'm feeling pleasure right now. It's a lot of pleasure being with you talking about this. A massive audience.
All right. This is not intimate at all.
No.
Knowing that there's like five other people listening.
Me and the five people that know
exactly.
I'm talking about.
And Odin.
So today we're talking about something that's really near and dear to our hearts, which is communication. We love giving skills around communication. I think our communication is excellent. It has evolved over the years. We're still learning, we're still growing, we're still mastering it.
Yes.
And we wanted to share a lot of what makes our communication work, function, especially around hard conversations, mm-hmm. right? And so this is not necessarily the idea of like bringing fun, playful communication to your marriage. This is a very specific tool for you and your partner to work through very challenging conversations, mm-hmm. right? And so you can call this whatever you want. We call it the speaker-listener dynamic, right? And but essentially two people, one person is a speaker, one person is a listener. And in order to make the communication work and function and create really great results, you each have a role to play.
Exactly. So if you're looking at it, like I kind of see it in my head as like a play, right? So each character has their, you know, their role to play. And if you're not doing your job as your character, things are not going to happen as they're supposed to in that play. Mm-hmm. So when you're given a role, you have to, you know, ace it. You got to be the best of the best at that role. And so it takes practice. It takes a lot of skill, but you got it. You can do this.
Yeah. And it also takes kind of stepping out of your own ego or sense of individualism, right, at mm-hmm. the time. Because I find that most of the time when conflict's happening in our relationship or in other couples that I see a lot, the primary reason the conflict is happening is because you have two speakers, mm-hmm. right? And neither one of them are willing to listen. So both of them want to be heard, both of them feel unheard, and neither one of them is willing to step into the listener role in order to keep things moving forward. Mm-hmm. So what happens? You end up at a gridlock, you end up in a conflict, and that never ends well.
Exactly.
And so today we're talking specifically about two roles. We're going to go through each role and really talk about three simple things that they can do in the moments of those tough conversations in order to help the conversation flow and really work as a team to overcome some of these challenging dynamics.
Right. And always remembering that both of you are a team. Mm-hmm. I think I've said this like in the last like 10 episodes.
Yep.
Both of you are a team working against a common enemy, which is the conversation, the conflict, the whatever is, you know, bothering you guys in that moment, right?
Yeah. And working together is the best way to overcome it. Yeah. So let's open up about the speaker role.
The speaker.
So what specifically does the speaker need to be prioritizing as they enter into these conversations?
So the responsibility of the speaker is to be understood. So their only role in this conversation is to be understood.
So I want to challenge that a bit.
Not the only role?
No, well, no, because you often say this to be understood, but I think it would be more powerful and more accurate to say to make sure the listener
yes.
understands them.
Yes, that's true, actually. Yeah. 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 Because it's easy for me to be like, well, I would have understood if I said it this way, but if I'm speaking to a child, I need to change the way I'm speaking to them. If I'm speaking to an adult, I have to change the way that I speak to them.
Right.
If I'm speaking to a dog, I have to change the way I speak to them.
Yeah. And think about it in terms of like what probably the best analogy that I give is always like the idea of language, right? Mm-hmm. If I was to go to Japan and I'm like, my job is to be understood. Well, I wouldn't just go to Japan and talk to people who don't speak English and just speak English mm-hmm. and then get angry at them because they don't understand me yeah. and yell at them in English.
Yeah.
And then when they walk away from me, chase them and yell at them more in English, right? I would need to try to figure out new ways to make sure that they can understand my message. And exactly. therefore, I would shift the way I communicate. I might start using my hands. I might point. I might whatever.
Pictures. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because in that case, the priority is to try to get this person to understand me.
Yes.
It's not to be understood, you know, in general.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we have these stances of individualism. And what I want to do is push it one step further and really understand that you're working as a team and your role as the speaker is to make sure that the listener can understand your message.
Yeah. And there's three, you know, simple enough steps to do this. And the first step being to be very aware of your timing. Mm-hmm. So when you're about to bring something up, what moment are you choosing to bring this up? What is your surrounding like? What is the environment you're in like? What time of day are you bringing it up? Is this the right time to be bringing up the specific topic that you're about to bring up?
Right.
So thinking about the timing is extremely important. Not just does this time work for me, but like you said, don't think about yourself. Think about the listener because you want the listener to understand you. Is this a good time for my listener to take in my message?
Yeah. Like an example of that would be, you know, if you're in a vehicle and you're driving your wife to the hospital to give birth to your first baby, talking about your insecurities about a father and your fear of the future, that might not be the best time
to do it. She's not listening to you. She can't hear you.
Yeah.
I promise you that.
Yeah. And so again, like kind
you
of
you can get past her yelling.
Yeah. But we see this a lot in relationship, yeah. right? Yeah. Somebody comes home from work, from a stressful day at work, and their partner immediately meets them at the door and just bombards them
yeah.
with complaints and stuff like that.
Yeah. And you know what? We used to do this often mm-hmm. is we would get in an argument and then you would call me at work or I would call you at work to have these conversations. And like, talk about the worst timing. Like, mm-hmm. I can't see you. I can't feel you. I can't touch you. I don't know what your face is like. And I'm having this conversation over the phone. Definitely not good timing. Let it go. And talk about it at a better time because this is not a good time to be having this conversation.
I love that. What's the second aspect?
Second one is your tone. Right. So being very aware of your tone. And that, again, is very personal to the listener you're speaking to. Mm-hmm. Eric could talk in the same tone with one person and talk in that same tone with me, but the tone will trigger me.
Yeah.
Because Eric knows... because of past conversations, that a very monotone, very like doctor-like, psychology-like tone triggers me. It gets right down to my bones. And if you start talking to me like that, unless you're a psychologist or my doctor, I will get angry. So
yeah, Kate loves, yeah, you love like a calm, but like hopeful tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And because you know me, you know that that's the tone you need to use around me.
If I want... my message to be understood.
Exactly. If you're angry and you're coming in guns blazing, what the heck is happening? You could say the nicest words, but because you're yelling at me, I'm not going to hear you. Mm-hmm. So being very aware of your tone and keeping that tone throughout the whole conversation is very important.
Yeah. And if you struggle with this, like if you're trying to think about like, oh, what's the right tone? For us, and this is like from the Chris Voss method, but we always think about like the late night DJ voice, mm-hmm. right? That's like the basic tone that you should probably start out, right? Which is like...
I was imagining a DJ in a club like... Burr, 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 burr.
Yeah, let's talk about some comfort.
Put your hands up. No, not that kind of DJ.
No, like the...
radio DJ.
Yeah, like radio late at night, like yeah. kind of monotone, like, hey, I'd love to talk to you about something. How are you doing? Like that is a go-to for most people.
Most people, yeah. until you're told by your wife, Kate, right. that tone... really irks you.
Yeah.
But
and you got to sound like a hopeful Smurf in yeah. La La Land.
Yeah. Right. I would love to talk to you about the fact that we might be on the edge of a divorce.
So again, we're kind of being playful here, but really understanding the impact that tone has because mm-hmm. it triggers emotional states in the listener.
Yeah. And don't do it in a judgmental way, but just as you would talk to a child in a more childlike voice, you would lower your voice, you talk to them with a more friendly vibe, you know, like if you yell at a kid, it's not going to get past them. But if mm-hmm. you're like, hey, sweetie, that really hurt my feelings, they're really going to listen. Well, why not give the same respect to your spouse, not say, hey, sweetie, I don't like it when you talk to me that way. But, yeah, know,
but think about but the tones, right? Tone. There's the judgmental tone. Yes. You can think about the contemptuous tone, mm-hmm. right? Like if you're saying like, why don't you just get it? Like that's yeah. not a tone yeah. that is going to be received well by your partner.
Right.
So really start to think about that.
So focusing on the timing, the tone, and finally the clarity of your message. Mm-hmm. So getting down, and this means it takes some planning beforehand unless you're like a professional at communication, which I don't know if that exists, but take your time before setting up this meeting or talking to your spouse or whoever you need to speak to get really clear on what it is you want to say.
Yeah.
And go down that why ladder, not just, you know, I need you to, you could say it in the nicest yeah. tone.
The house is always a mess.
Yeah. The house is always a mess. Okay.
Doesn't really mean anything.
Thank you for telling me that. Like, so what is it about the house that's a mess? Go down that ladder. Why is it important to you? Why is it impacting you? What is it that a clean house would yeah. bring you?
And this is what we're saying is this is the speaker's responsibility to dive into
before.
Because what a lot of people do is they're just pissed off. They go to their partner and then they're trying to regulate and figure it out with their partner. Mm-hmm. And now their partner's like, what is this about? Like we yeah. just spent 10 minutes and I don't even know what this is about yet.
Right.
Well, that is going to have your partner in the future avoiding these conversations. Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't have 10 minutes for you to figure this out with me.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'm not here at this moment. So take some responsibility for your message and get clear on what it is you're trying to say.
Yeah. And I like doing this by journaling. I like doing this by talking it out with a friend before. A lot of times that helps. Is I can get like a lot of the like, well, he's just so stupid and he's blah, 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 out with my friend, mm-hmm. who's a very neutral party. I'm not impacting her in any way about, you know, being angry at my husband in that moment. She understands that I'm angry, that I still have a lot of love for my husband, but I'm able to craft a message that's very clear as to what I need out of this conversation. And that's kind, right?
Yeah. Clear as kind.
Clear as kind, exactly. So you're watching your timing, you're watching your tone, and you're being very clear about what message you're trying to put across to your
100%. Success. And before we move on to the listener, you know, there's a very simple four-step process here that we love to use, which is, you know, the fact, the story, the feeling, and then what you want, right? Mm-hmm. And so what is the observation? When you're saying like the house is a mess, be more specific. Oh, there's toys all over the playroom. The dishes are in the, you know, in the sink, and there's mud all over the floor.
Right. So you're bringing up a fact, something that can be proven in a court of law.
That's right. And as close as possible to a fact, the better. And then the story you make up about that fact, you know, that tells me that we're lazy, that we're unorganized, that whatever, it's stressed. And then the feeling, which is it stresses me out, I feel overwhelmed, etc. And then your want, what I would like or what I want is for us to get together and sit down and create a cleaning schedule for our family to pick up after our toys and make sure the dishes are done.
Yeah. And that story part, you know, actually saying the story in my head or the story I'm making up, that really, really softens the blow.
Yeah. Allows your partner to enter
into it. So if you're saying like, you know, it makes me think that we're lazy and that might be taken as a little offensive to your partner. But if you're like, the story I'm making up in my head, what I'm telling myself is we're lazy, we're this. Like, I know we're not that. It's just, this is what I'm making up in my head. This is what I'm believing right now. Mm-hmm. So, and it makes me feel this way. And this is what I would like. Here's a specific, very clear request from you or for the family or.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's a great way for you to be clear and share that with the listener. Mm-hmm. So now if we shift, right, to the receiving partner, because again, you're working together.
Yes.
One partner chooses to be the listener and to receive your message.
Yes.
And so there's three steps for the listener as well that we suggest in order to, you know, seek to understand what the speaker is sharing, because that's the listener's responsibility. Mm-hmm. The listener's responsibility is to try to understand what it is their partner is saying and not through their own lens, like not taking your information and putting it through all my lens and all my beliefs and all my defense mechanisms and then deciding to deal with that. No, to really take it in terms of like, what is this person trying to express to me?
Yes, exactly. And I love that you said they can choose to listen, because listening is a choice. Mm-hmm. I don't have to stand here and listen to you. I don't have to listen to anybody. I can just live in my own world and have my own thoughts and beliefs and not choose to listen to anyone. Mm-hmm. So by being a listener, I am making a conscious choice. Yes, I want to listen to you. And yes, this is a good time for me to listen to you. So the first step to being a listener is grounding yourself, really finding your zen and choosing, yes, I am ready to be an active listener. Yes, this is a good time. Yes, I'm open to it. My heart is open to what you're saying, what you're about to say. And I am choosing to be here and listen to this in this time because it is a good time for me.
Yeah. And what you're really saying here is, and this is where you need to trust yourself and make a commitment to the conversation, is you are making a commitment to be able to regulate yourself through this conversation, right? Because it's possible that some things are going to come up that are going to trigger you. Mm-hmm. And you are making a commitment to say, hey, I'm in a good headspace now, or I'm willing to sit and kind of listen and be open to this, knowing that maybe some emotions will come up, but that I'm going to choose not to respond from that place. Mm-hmm. I'm going to choose to breathe and I'm going to choose to prioritize listening to you here.
Yeah.
Right.
And if I'm not in the space to do so, I will make a decision for when that is a good time. And I will tell my partner, I'm so sorry. I had a really busy day. I'm unable to listen to you right now. But if you give me, you know, 1 hour to come down from my day, I will be able to give myself to you fully to be able to listen, because I really care about what you have to say.
Yeah, I love that last part, right? Because what you want to share with me is a priority to me, mm-hmm. and I want to hear you.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'm committed that in 1 hour, I'll put on a timer, and I will come find you.
Yes.
So you can express this to me to see if it's a good time.
Exactly, because as a listener, I am really taking action to be in the right headspace to receive that message that is about to come to me.
Yeah.
So that is being the first
kind of ground step. Yourself,
yeah.
Open yourself up to receiving your partner's message.
Yeah. And so your next step is to be quiet and listen. And once the message has been passed and it is clearly done, to paraphrase. Mm-hmm. So to take what was shared by your partner and to say it in their words, in your words, whatever's comfortable for you, but to say what it is you understood.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that with me. What I understood was, and then you paraphrase it. You yeah. say it in your words.
Well, and this is really important, because when you're saying say it in your words, we actually want to drive towards saying it in a way that adds clarity.
Yes.
Because what you don't want to say is, you know, if your partner's like, hey, I feel like, you know, we've been disconnected and I miss you and I think you're working a lot. And you're like, oh, well, what I'm receiving from that is I'm a shitty husband and I'm never around. And whoa.
That's not paraphrasing. Yeah.
And that's where you're not open now. Yes. And so you're always trying to move towards creating more clarity for the conversation.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and maybe at the beginning, you're going to have to literally repeat what that person has said. And we've had to do that,
yep.
where we have to say it in the exact words it came out because we were too stuck in assuming what the person wanted to say. We were too angry that we would just jab back by saying, oh, what I heard was that you think I'm a shitty wife and that you don't think I ever want to spend time with you. And it's like, no, that's not at all what I said. So we were at a place where we actually had to repeat word for word
the exact same words
what Eric said.
Yep.
And then once we kind of were able to stop assuming what the other person was going to say, we got to a place where we were able to paraphrase. Mm-hmm. What I understood is that you think I work too much and that you would like to spend more time with me.
And you miss me and yeah. I'm unavailable to you. And this is a great way for you as the listener to create empathy from your partner and really drive home that you understand them.
Yeah.
Right? Because now if you really start to know your partner and you have these conversations often, you can actually connect to a depth that maybe they're unwilling to share right away. Mm-hmm. Right? So maybe it's too vulnerable for them to be open about something that's deep down in their heart. And if you start to know your partner, you can kind of connect to that in a really healthy way. You know, it's like, you know, what I'm hearing is that I work too much and you miss me, but probably even more than that, that maybe you think I'm unavailable to you and you're afraid to ask.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's like, yes, exactly. And then your partner is really going to feel understood.
Yeah. And I think that the most important part in all of this, it's once that you've ground yourself, that the timing is proper, that you're really in a space where you're like, yes, I can listen to you. The message was said, you listened before speaking, and then you paraphrased or you said it in your words. The most important part is to verify. And that's just one simple sentence of, did I get that right?
Yeah.
Or is there anything you need to add?
Yeah.
Am I understanding? And so then your partner can either, you know, agree with, yes, you did understand me. Thank you. I finally feel seen and heard. Mm-hmm. Or they'll say, actually, no, not quite. And then they might change the way they said it so that you'll understand them better. Because again, it's their responsibility to make sure they are understood. So by you verifying, they might be like, I didn't say that right. Let me start over. And they might say it or they might repeat it in the exact same way they said it at the beginning. But the whole idea here is that you want to seek to be understood and your partner wants to seek to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So if both of you have the same intention and you trust that the things that are coming out of my mouth are true and the things that are coming out of your mouth are true, and we both have the best intention for each other, well, then this communication, it's foolproof. It's foolproof, guys.
Yeah, 100%. And this is why you want to continue to move towards this and master it, because over time, these very hard conversations are going to be much easier to, you know, have to manage, to connect to, and you're actually going to start revealing a lot of these things that are, you know, hidden below the surface, deep down, and that creates a lot of security in your relationship, which then allows you to feel more connected and leave room for a lot more pleasure and adventure. All right, everyone, that wraps us up for this week's podcast. If you did find value in the podcast, please give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, or give us a follow and a rating over on Spotify. We always love to hear from you, our listeners, so any sort of feedback on those reviews would be really, really helpful. If you are a man who feels more like a roommate than a lover with his partner and is really looking to revive his marriage by leading through healthy masculinity, you can join our free Facebook group, the Evolve Men's Collective. The link will be in the show notes. Or if you want to work with me directly in our mastermind, where I help high-level men really lead in their relationships through differentiation, through different high-level tactics, with my coaching directly every single week, you can apply to join us in the Evolve Men's Collective Mastermind. The application is also in the show notes. After you apply, you'll get a little space to book some time with me. We can have a quick conversation about what's going on for you and how I can help, and see if the mastermind is a good fit for you. Otherwise, we look forward to connecting again next week. Cheers.